Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you, and the Lord has given us another beautiful day here in Independence or Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm thinking of the time when Jesus comes back, and he's getting ready to come back, and this earth will be turned into a paradise, and it'll be a beautiful day every day as he rules and reigns over the earth. And I believe when he comes back, he showed when he was here the first time his power over even sickness and death. And so I believe that when he comes back, why, first there is going to be a great battle as the nations of the world come against Israel, and then he will come back, and we're going to read that in just a few minutes. And then when he takes over, all the nations of the world will surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will come on radio and television that he is now the absolute monarch and King of kings and Lord of lords of this planet. And all of a sudden, the deserts will turn into roses and beautiful flowers. And every person on earth will be that's sick will be suddenly, instantaneously healed. And it'll be 1,000 years of the most wonderful time that the world has ever seen. And every problem the world has ever seen will be solved. But it starts out this way. And so we're going to start in Zechariah chapter 12. And then we're going to talk about some of the Feast of Israel. And Brother Davis will talk about that. But it starts in Zechariah 12, and if you want to turn there, it's a great chapter in the Bible. Now, I am so happy to see that the United States Embassy has been placed in Jerusalem, which is basically will be the capital of the world, according to Psalms chapter 2. And it says, Jesus Christ will come back and rule from Mount Zion. He says, I will set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And Zion is the mountain that Jerusalem is built on, a real place. And I was there, and I sat down on that mountain. So it's a real place, and I've seen it. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, and King David was a prophet, it says, when the Lord builds up Zion, which would be the same as Jerusalem, it says he will appear in his glory. And that is the city of Zion, Jerusalem, and Mount Zion is being built up with houses and motels and everything all over the city now, and the whole city is being built up. And so that is a prophecy that is happening right in front of our eyes. And so we've had the prophecy of God bringing the Jewish people back, the prophecy of Mount Zion being built up, and the Lord said he'll appear in his glory. That is, when he comes back the second time, there'll be no question about it. The first time, he was beaten and whipped and hung on a cross, and that was to die for our sins, as Isaiah 53 has prophesied. And the whole Old Testament pictures this as the Lamb of God who's paid the penalty for all of your sins. No matter what you've done, if you repent and put your faith in him and trust him and say to Jesus Christ and say, I accept you as my Lord, my God, I believe you died and rose from the dead, at that point, you will have eternal life. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And you will become part of the family of God. But before that event takes place, the devil puts in his oar and sets up his kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom. And we see that right now. You know, one of the reasons these slanders are coming against the president of the United States and trying to destroy him is because they got a hidden government there that is working towards setting up a world government. And they don't like it because Mr. Trump, our president, is for the United States. And that's okay. He said every government leader should be for their own country, you know. But they got this agenda out there, and so they're demonizing him. And you can't trust the media. I am telling you, they are a bunch of liars. And I remember, it seems like every good president we've had, where they call him all kinds of names, they called Bush Hitler, and they made a saint out of Gorbachev and a devil out of Reagan, and so they made a saint out of Hillary, although I'm not going to go into the crimes they committed, and although they sailed out the United States, they sold missiles to China, and sold uranium to Russia, and the money came back to the Clintons. But the media made them out to be some kind of saints and Trump to be the devil, you know. But they have a reason, a method behind their madness, and that is that the agenda for the world government, and that is the humanists, the atheists that have a religion in America and is powerful. We not only have Christianity here, we have atheistic humanism, which says man is his own God. And they got an agenda for a world government, and that's led by Satan himself to set up his Antichrist, his man in power. And at that time, for just a very short time, they'll even be worshiping the devil. And so that's the agenda, and that's why all this, the lying that goes on, and why they're trying to get rid of the president. But I see the president's doing a lot of good things for the United States, and he's really helping him. So many people are back to work, and a lot of good things are happening. But in Zechariah 12, it says, "In that day the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem that is feeble among them. At that day shall be David as the house of David, shall be as God and the angel of the Lord before them." And so he's going to defend Jerusalem. Now you see this is getting ready to happen. In the previous verses, talk about the world, the sending armies against Jerusalem. And it starts, it says this here, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about." So the people round about are going to be terrified of what is going to take place when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. So there's going to be a coming war against Israel. And I could see it coming. All you have to do is watch the news, and they're beating the war. They're beating the drums against Israel, and they're passing resolutions against Israel all the time and demonizing Israel and go on. And this is really satanic, because you see, if they can destroy Israel, that's proven that the Bible is not true, and Satan wants to do that. But of course, the Bible is true, and what's going to happen? Well, their armies are going to come against Jerusalem, and God says in the book of Revelation, he's going to feed them to the birds, and the birds are already multiplying over there, so they're getting ready for a meal for God's enemies. "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces." And if that is not in the news every day, what is? I mean, when Mr. Trump, when the president said that they're going to put the American embassy in Jerusalem, oh my goodness, what a mess. I mean, all the I'm talking about the outrage and all the pressure against our president over that thing. It's a burdensome stone to many, many people about this. They're all upset over this. Jerusalem is a burdensome stone. But what does God say? And this, the Bible is just as up to date as the news that you watch on television, if not more so. And it says, "All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces." So any army that comes against Israel now is going to be cut in shreds. That is, they're going to be sliced to pieces. And in Revelation, it says that God's going to feed their bodies to the birds, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And it looks like much of the world is now passing resolutions against Israel in the UN. But it doesn't matter, because he is the God of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe. And it says the angel of the Lord has appeared all through the Bible in the Old Testament and the New, but the angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. First time he came to die for our sins and pay for your sins so you can meet God without any sin. Well, isn't that wonderful? I think it's fantastic, and you'll meet God with joy, because God will wipe all your sins away with his blood, and you'll meet him with joy and be part of his forever family. But those that reject him will meet him in judgment, and he will come in power and glory and destroy his enemies, and he'll destroy them in a matter of seconds. And you can get all your missiles and bombs and H-bombs and and all the technology man can put together. And when Jesus comes back, he'll just laugh at it. You know, the Bible says when the world comes against God and tries to reject God, it says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. You might as well try to empty the Pacific Ocean with a teaspoon as trying to go against God. And I see the power of Jesus all over the world today. This program is going to every country on earth, and they're listening. And we know by the hits we're getting on our website that they're listening in worldwide to the program. And we're telling you that Jesus is coming back. But not only us, thank God, other radio programs, television programs, missionaries, preachers, they're telling you Jesus is coming back. And he says, when I build up Jerusalem, I will return in my glory. He's going to come back, that he will come back brighter than the sun and destroy his enemies. And the whole world will see it. And that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be in my strength, the Lord of hosts their God. And that day will I make the governor of Judah like an earth of fire among the wood and like a torch fire in a sheaf. And you see that. In other words, you've set a torch on a pile of rubble or a pile of wood, and it burns up. And every time they get in a battle with Israel these days, they just destroy whoever comes against them. That's the power of God. They had one war, I understand, nearly 100. They were outnumbered 100-1. And they went through it like a knife through butter. That's not the power of the United States. That's the power of Jehovah Jesus, the Lord God, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. And it says, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. Now, you know, so Jerusalem, they got control of Jerusalem some years back. And that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that is feeble among them. That's when the armies of the world come against Israel. And shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will just seek to destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. And you see them getting ready for it right now. And it's all in the Bible. The Bible, the King James Bible, is the Word of God. You know, we have preachers that talk about the authority of the Word of God, and you know, if they don't name the Bible they're talking about, they're cowards and blowing smoke. And that's strong language. But you know that 99% of the ancient manuscripts back up the authorized King James Bible. And there's hundreds of thousands of books out there circulating worldwide now that document the evidence of this. One of the latest, which is a masterpiece, and a lot of them, is called Which Bible Would Jesus Use? And then there's another masterpiece, and we should go back to that, the one by Gail Riplinger. What's the name of that now?
There's several by Gail Riplinger.
The first one she put out.
New Age Bible Versions.
New Age Bible Versions. I was just reading it the other day, you know. And it's a masterpiece. And many other versions she put out. She tells in another one, Hazardous Materials, and 400 pages of documented evidence. Who's put these out? You know, some people just say, the scholars say, well, I want to know what scholars say. You know, the people, like, for instance, the man on the American Bible Society, what is this? Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini of Milan, Italy, a Roman Catholic archbishop. He's on that committee. And then there's Metzger, who puts out the Catholic Bible translation and denies and says that the gospel writers made mistakes. And, it's all in these books. The evidence, the proof is out there. And the proof is the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Every translation that comes out, I think there's about 400. There's still they come and they go, and the King James goes right on, and the majority, the great majority of Christians that read the Bible every day, they read the King James Bible over all the rest of the translations that come and go. Okay, and it shall come to pass that I will seek to destroy all nations that come, and I'll pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on the Jewish people in Jerusalem and Israel in a tremendous way. There is going to be an incredible revival. And it's going to come as Israel is actually overrun and as they pray for God's help and mercy. And at that time, it says the Holy Spirit will be poured out. And then God is speaking. Read this in your Bible, Zechariah 12. Read it in the Hebrew Bible. It says, and they shall look upon me. Who's talking? God himself is talking. Whom they have pierced. That's saying God himself is going to show up, the one that they have pierced. And they are going to look at him, and they're going to see the place in his hands where his hands were pierced with nails. And it says this long before Jesus ever came. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And they're going to say it that day as Jesus rescues them from the armies of the world, and they recognize that he is the one that they have rejected for all these years. They're going to say, they're going to, as a nation, weep and cry. That's the great day of atonement. That's the great day of Yom Kippur. And in that day shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the Valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David. They're going to cry, we have rejected the one that died for our sins. And the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei, and all the families that remain, every family apart, with their wives apart. In that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Now, what is that fountain? Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so they offered sacrifices, and the blood was shed, and atonement was made, but it was only a temporary covering. But when the great prophet of Israel came, John the Baptist, and he's in the history, Jewish history books, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And David called him the Son of God in Psalms chapter 2. And he comes, and he, by his blood, in Zechariah, it says, by the blood of thy covenant, talking about the Messiah in Zechariah, he says, thou hast removed the prisoners without from the wells without water. And so Jesus, by his blood, has paid for all of our sins. And you know, on the Day of Atonement, the great high priest went into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And before he went in with the blood of a goat that was shed and taken in a basin. They put a rope on the back of his leg, and he went in there, and he offered sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat where the ark was, where God sat and where the presence of God was, on the Ark of the Covenant. And when he did that, he came out, that meant that the sins of Israel had been covered for one more year. But Jesus, when he was talking before the high priest, they said, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? And he said, thou hast said it. Yes, I am. And he said, well, you will not see me until you see me coming in power and great glory. And at that time, after he died and he rose from the dead, the great high priest, like the high priest in the Old Testament, he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And there he took his blood and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in heaven as a payment for the sins of Israel and for the whole world. And when he comes out of heaven, just like the high priest came out of the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, he comes out of heaven that day to save Israel. That will mean to Israel and to the world that the payment of the sins of Israel have been paid for, and God has accepted the sacrifice. And I'm telling you today, man, it just overwhelms me to think of it. Jesus has paid for all of my sins. He has accepted the sacrifice for all of my sins. And he has paid the sacrifice for the sins of Israel and for all the world. And Israel that day will repent and receive Jesus Christ. And just as Joseph met his brothers and he saved them, Jesus will save them out of their trouble, and they will meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will restore the kingdom of David, and he will rule from Israel in Jerusalem, and it will be a time of peace forever for Israel. Well, God bless you. Okay, Brother Al.
Well, you were talking earlier about the founding of the state of Jerusalem, which was 70 years ago, the modern state of Israel, I should say, and the capture of Jerusalem in 1967, and the making that the capital of Jerusalem, really recognizing Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people. It's been the capital, really, according to the Bible, for some 3,000 years or so, ever since King David established the capital there. And it was also the city that God chose to place his temple. And you had asked about the seven feasts, the Levitical feasts from Leviticus chapter 23, and how this might tie into the 70th anniversary of Jerusalem and the possible return of the Lord. Jesus, in his first appearing, when he came and was born there on that, what we celebrate at Christmas, born in Bethlehem and laid in the manger, and then, of course, going through his death, burial, and resurrection, and then ascending up into heaven, he fulfilled the spring feast, which begin, of course, with Passover. Jesus was our Passover lamb and a sacrifice for our sins. He was sacrificed and died when the Passover lambs were being killed. And then, of course, he also fulfilled the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which started after Passover. And that, of course, Jesus is the bread of life without leaven, without sin. And then, of course, the next was the first fruits. He was the first in the resurrection, the firstborn from or first begotten from the dead, as the Bible says. And then, of course, Pentecost was fulfilled with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And some people look at the two loaves that were offered up in the temple on Pentecost, representing the church, the Jew and the Gentile being brought together in the presence of the Lord. And so we see Pentecost fulfilled there on the Feast of Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church into the world. And of course, that leaves us with the fall feasts. The autumn feasts have not yet been fulfilled by Christ, and you'll notice there's a gap. And during that time frame is when the people would be working in the fields, and then in the first fall feast, the Feast of Trumpets, usually in late September, possibly early October, it was time for the first new moon, and you did not know exactly when the new moon would occur. You had to be watching and waiting, and there were watchers that would sound a trump when they would watch and certify that it was the new moon. They would sound the trumpet, and it was time to leave the harvest field and to go in for the festival, the Feast of Trumpets, and then that could represent the catching away of the believers in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then that leaves, of course, the Day of Atonement, which likely would be fulfilled with the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation as he comes in judgment. It's the Day of Judgment, Yom Kippur. And then that brings us to the seventh feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, which ties in exactly with what you've been saying, Bruce, when Jesus comes to set up his kingdom here on earth, and he dwells with us during that thousand-year reign of Christ. And there in a nutshell is the seven feasts, and it's just amazing. It's the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel, and this could be the time. Well, we're certainly in the time. We should be watching and waiting. One day that trumpet's going to sound, and we're not going to be able to labor in the harvest fields anymore because we're going to be caught up to what? The marriage feast of the Lamb. And I think that ties in.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, and I think the Jewish people had to bring their sacrifice to where God put his name, which is at the temple.
Yes.
But God destroyed the temple, and God put his name on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's the source that you come to with your sacrifice, and he is the sacrifice. And you got to come to him, and you will be forgiven and have eternal life instantaneously now. And we can thank God for it. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.